Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Today's video is brought to you by Predictable Revenue's service LinkedIn Outbound. Find out how we can leverage and grow your existing LinkedIn network to book meetings into your calendar at the link below.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Today's episode is on how to build a content strategy to replace trade shows and travel. So if you're an industry that depends on in-person networking, on relationship building to meet your sales targets, you might feel like you're pretty stuck right now. And well, you certainly are stuck if you're not doing this, building a content strategy to pick up the slack. And here to talk about that today is my guest, Joe Sullivan. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Joe is an industrial marketing consultant of 10 plus years and co-founder of the St. Louis-based industrial marketing agency, Gorilla 76, where he also serves as the company's business development lead and consults Gorilla's clients on both sales and marketing strategy. Much of Joe's time is dedicated to speaking, writing, and creating video content on behalf of the agency. So that's what we've brought him in today to talk about, to help you guys with. So we're going to talk about how prospecting has changed in the absence of trade shows and travel, what you need to do to fill that gap. And Joe is going to help us build a content strategy that allows companies to capitalize on the expertise of their own people to get meaningful content out there and start bringing leads in totally virtually. So you actually did a webinar really diving deeply into this topic, and we'll link that for those of you watching that are in the manufacturing space and you want to hear more specifics there. But for companies out there in any industry who rely heavily on relationship building and in-person networking to sell, how do you think prospecting has changed in the absence of trade shows and travel?
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of hit this topic really quickly when the whole mess around COVID set in. It was about a week into March or so, we ran this webinar called Prospecting in the Absence of Trade Shows and Travel, as you mentioned. And, you know, I think that there are kind of a few things going on here that are worth noting. So, you know, a lot of, and for context, you know, my audience is primarily manufacturing organizations, and these are companies that have been, you know, more sales heavy than marketing heavy traditionally, and really still are. There's a lot of knocking on doors. There's a ton of trade shows, you know, relying on existing network and referrals, and so a lot of these organizations aren't great at marketing anyway, and I think it's a function that they've had to start developing much more quickly. But then at the same time, companies that have been, you know, reliant on more traditional methods, they have to and have been less proactive about going out there and prospecting and identifying the right people and delivering a message that actually resonates during a time like this. They've had to really shift gears too. So it's really become a matter of taking traditional offline practices online and figuring out how to also deliver a message that is not just going to be noise and people are willing to listen to in kind of a sensitive time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you mentioned a lot of the companies that you work with and talk to are in the manufacturing space, but I think there are a lot of kind of more traditional companies that have focused, even if they do have a marketing budget, on a lot of this in-person selling and in-person networking and, you know, going out for dinners or mm-hmm. whatever that might be with these prospects. So as you mentioned, you've got to kind of digitize, you've got to modernize to fill this gap. What do you think in particular companies can turn to now to fill that gap in lead flow?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, there's the best thing you can obviously do is be in a room with somebody, right? And be in front of them and have a face-to-face conversation. And you know, that of course, the positive there is you build a real human-human relationship. The negative is it's not super scalable and you can only be in front of so many people at one given time. And I think what, you know, the current state of the world has forced a lot of people to do is say, well, I guess we can't jump on an airplane and fly across the country or even, you know, be in the offices of clients or customers that are local. And so it's, you know, it's forced, everybody does Zoom now, right? It's just like everybody's doing this. It's, and so the level of comfort with, you know, using technology like this has increased. And you know, I think there's a way to take advantage of that in a way that sort of humanizes the brand. So, yeah, everybody's doing Zoom meetings, but can you pull that same sort of, you know, humanizing of your brand and your prospecting process into what you're doing on the outreach front? So, you know, one of the tools, for example, that well, I've been using for a while, but we've been helping our clients put into play is a tool like Loom, or like loom.com, or there's Soapbox, and I think Vidyard makes one of these, but it lets you literally click a button on your screen and start talking. And you think of all the emails, inbound emails you get from people trying to sell you things that are just words, and you're just kind of hidden behind a blanket of words on in an email. Well, you know, to be able to see somebody's face and hear their voice, it's a completely different experience. All of a sudden you're a real human being. So, you know, I think that's one thing is, mm-hmm. is how do you humanize yourself? Like, is there a way to scale, this face-to-face thing by, you know, doing webinars, by doing a private lunch and learn? Could you do a private lunch and learn for a company you would have normally gone to visit, in a different city, but you could, you order lunch in from you call the place close to their office and have lunch brought in, and then you can, you know, it's almost a surprise, and you conduct this face to face lunch and learn. So I think the video component is a huge thing. I'm seeing it working for ourselves, for our clients.
Awesome. And you mentioned in a previous conversation kind of a shift in the type of marketing that a company might do. So from this kind mm-hmm. of I, me, my focused to the you based marketing. Could you share with us what you mean by that, or elaborate on that a little?
Yeah. So the typical prospecting email that, you know, is probably in the outboxes of a lot of listeners, but and almost certainly in your inbox is, you know, the hey, I'm you know, Joe from Gorilla, and here's all the great stuff we do, and you know, why our competition's garbage and why you should buy from us, and it's you know, it's just an insensitive, very clearly canned, or at best case slightly customized message, and you know that it's that there are thousands of other people who got this same message, and so, you know, the approach that we preach, which is nothing, you know, necessarily completely innovative, but, you know, you need to take a more human approach, but you also need to create value in the email. So, you know, what we do maybe a little differently than some people who are out there doing prospecting is we'll deliver emails to, you know, cold prospects that are not, there really is no ask, or if there is an ask in it, it's very subtle. We're taking the expertise in the brains of, well, in my case, our team as marketers, and, you know, we're writing content, we're creating video content, and we're delivering little bits of that to people who it's most relevant to. Mm-hmm. People who are experiencing the issues that we're talking about in these things, are trying to achieve the things that we're teaching about, you know, how to achieve. And when you take that approach and you deliver that with nothing and, you know, asking for nothing in return, yeah, it's going to require some patience. It's not, you know, it's different than sending a very hard hitting sales email where you're trying to book a call. But you know, the open rate, the response rate, the level of engagement from somebody is going to be dramatically increased. You're going to start cultivating this audience of people, because, you know, ultimately you're not going to change. You're not going to be able to speed up the buying process for a lot of people. They're going to buy when they're ready to buy. Like that's the reality. Like, you know, maybe to some extent you'll be able to influence it. But what we see working is being the one who educates and helps that person all along that buyer's journey. And even when they're, you know, kind of outside of that or in an early stage of it, so that when they are moving into more of a buying mode, you're the obvious one they're thinking of. You've been providing help along the way. So that's kind of where the direction I think companies need to be moving.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's kind of a theme of both needing to digitize and humanize. And that's whether that's doing a lunch and learn, as you said, or sending a video with something like loom.com or Vidyard or whatever, or down to the actual marketing emails or prospecting emails. It's got to be innovative, but it's also got to be very human. And I think that's a great kind of segue into into content and how we can create content and have that instead of networking and kind of having a booth at a trade show, you've got to put out a webinar, you've got to put out a podcast, you've got to do something else to kind of put yourself in front of those prospects and build that brand awareness or that brand trust. And I think you had a pretty interesting take on how to build that content strategy using the resources that you already have at your disposal. So tell me a bit about that, about how to create a content strategy with the people and the tools that you already have.
Yeah. So the basic formula here is pretty simple. It's, you know, you need to start with focus, right? And that means, you know, understanding who the ideal customer is for you or who you're trying to reach at a company level, but then also at a human level. So inside of those organizations, who are the people who influence the buying process? Whether it's the people with, you know, looking for specific, you know, trying to deal with a specific problem, or the people who are going to be ultimately writing the check. You know, there's a committee of buyers in a lot of cases that you're going to need to influence. And it's a matter of deeply understanding what those people care about. What are the triggers that lead them into the buying process? What are the things that motivate them to change? What are the problems they're experiencing? The questions they're asking? All of those things are going to be the foundation of your content. So if you can understand that really well, the company, the individual people, the things they care about, the content strategy kind of just falls right into place. And then you start producing this content. And then it's a matter of, you know, how do we get this content that is purely helpful and resourceful in nature in front of as many of those people from those types of companies as possible. And there are a lot of ways to do that. There's you know, sales outreach. There is, you know, hyper-targeted paid media channels using, you know, paid social on LinkedIn or Facebook or YouTube or whatever it might be. You know, yeah, there's email, there's, you know, organic reach through your own website, you know, organic social. So, but it all starts with, you know, having content that addresses the things you're prospects actually care about.
Awesome. And one of the things that you've mentioned is that it may not necessarily be the people that you think are going to be the best at creating that content within your company that it actually ends up being. The expertise may lie in other teams, or maybe you've got a product expert who would normally not have this kind of customer facing role, but they may have the best product knowledge, which of course makes sense. But I think we learn in what we see and what other companies do that it's the sales leaders or the founders or the CEOs that tend to be the ones who create the content. And while they may be best at kind of presenting that knowledge, maybe there are other members of the team whose expertise you need to be drawing upon to actually build out that content.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because it's so true. It's, you know, there are different people at your organization with different areas of expertise. And, you know, just to give you a little context, so us working with mid-sized manufacturers, you know, a lot of them, a lot of our clients are trying to reach, you know, companies where they need to speak to engineers, and a lot of times it's engineer to engineer conversations that are happening early in the sales process, right? It's some engineer or a plant manager, somebody on the shop floor who's like, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, make their production line move faster, you know, increase throughput, or, you know, whatever the issue might be. And the people that are most qualified to help that buyer understand those things are technical professionals on, you know, our client's end. And so, so you got to sort of lean on the people inside your company who interface with your customers and who understand them deeply and are, you know, in communication with them every day, because it's you know, the process of extracting the knowledge from those people on your team. Marketing's job, I think, and is to facilitate that knowledge extraction process, to take what's in the brains of your various subject matter experts, turn it into assets, whether that means video or audio or written content or whatever it might be, and then arm your sales team with it and use that stuff in your marketing approach.
That definitely makes sense to me. And I think that applies to so many different companies. I mean, an internal example I can come up with for predictable revenue. Of course, we're a sales organization, mostly reaching out to sales personas. So that's often the kind of like-minded people that we're reaching out to, and then it's our salespeople that put out the content, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But about a year ago, our head of product, who has a much more, has an engineering, a software engineering background, much more kind of scientific minded, whereas salespeople are more kind of relationship driven. And he realized that one thing that people aren't doing is validating an outbound strategy. And why can't we take a scientific approach to that? And so he developed this program called Outbound Validation, and he wrote an article on it, and he ended up presenting about it at, it was either SaaS Talk or Saster Europa maybe, but somebody that maybe wouldn't normally be the person sharing that content. If we were kind of, if sales and marketing were working together and not thinking about the other teams, we would probably come up with a content strategy that would not include anybody except the sales and marketing teams. So if you're watching right now, take a second, pause the episode and have a think, who in your company has expertise in what different areas, and in what way is that expertise appealing and helpful and valuable to your prospects? And then how can you take that and put it into a content strategy? Well, that's what we're going to help you do right now. So this is when you want to get your pens and papers out. Joe is going to screen share here and walk us through an actual content strategy workshop. So leaving you with basically topics that you can share and a timeline and a plan for you to fill this gap in lead flow with content.
Great. I'll go ahead and share my screen.
Awesome.
So this is a pretty simple spreadsheet here. Nothing fancy. This is just a, you know, a Google sheet. And there's three tabs at the bottom, which you want to make note of. I'm not going to go through this line by line because this would bore you and take all day, but it's important that you, when you're doing this, consider, you know, you got to kind of give attention to everything on here. So there's three tabs. The first tab is your ideal account profile, something that I'm sure most listeners are familiar with. The second tab is buyer persona profiles, or you know, profiling the individual buying process influencers within those organizations. And then the third tab is a place to log content topics that sort of stem from all this. So kind of hitting on some highlights, you know, the first few things here are things that, you know, information you probably know about your ideal account profile, or if you don't, you can find pretty easily using, you know, tools that are out there, like LinkedIn or you know, various database tools, you know, number of employees, annual revenue, geography, et cetera. But you know, something I want to note here that I think is super important is this row 19, trigger events or motivation to change. You know, I think it's something everybody talks about on the sales front, like understanding these things. But I think it's super important when you're doing a content strategy to get that stuff down in writing and to, you know, pull from the perspectives of different people on your team. Like Sarah was just saying, you know, you may have one perspective on it. What about other people on your team who interface with these individuals regularly? Technical professionals, people who are, you know, customer service people who are, you know, sort of in the weeds on the details. Like, what are the things that you know, would motivate these companies to make a change? You know, sometimes those are internal factors, sometimes they're external factors, like, you know, internal things like I'm thinking about my manufacturing audience again, of course, because that's sort of my world, but, you know, facility expansions or a new product line or equipment reaching end of life. External examples of triggers could be things like seasonality, you know. We have one customer who sells generators that, like diesel powered generators that could power a construction job site, and like hurricane season, for example, is a big trigger for them externally, because, you know, that's when power goes out, right, along the coast. So things like that. I think logging as many of these as you can as possible is really great. And then identifying who the buying committee is, because we're going to use those individuals on the next tab. So that's all I'll touch on this tab, but explore that whole side. And I would recommend you profile it for each of your sort of main customer segments that you're going to try to, you know, go after. The next tab, buyer persona profiles. This is where you take those buying process influencers and you give them each a column, and I would prioritize them. You know, who's, you know, for my clients, often it's an engineer who is the one experiencing a pain, and as a result, and the one who's gonna, you know, who you have the chance to influence earliest on in the buying process. And you want to get to that person before things, you know, move down the line to procurement, because at that point the buying decision is close to being made already. We want to influence a person who's with content, who's actually experiencing a problem, and as early as possible. So things I think, again, there's sort of the very objective things that you can plug in here. What are common job titles for this person? Responsibilities at the company, et cetera. But the ones that I would focus on here are these three, really. So the row that's about personal pains and goals, and what are the struggles this individual person is facing in their job that you can help address, like, you know, an engineer for our clients versus a plant manager versus procurement. You know, these are different people who are important in the buying process. They all care about very different things. And so what are their pains? What are the things they're trying to achieve? Log as many of those as you can, and from as many people at your company who interface with these individuals and who really understand that buyer. And then, you know, what are the common questions? You think about getting off a sales call, like, what questions did you get that you kind of get all the time? And these become really great content topics. These should be triggers for you to say, all right, I was asked that question 3 times this week. And, you know, I'm going to provide, you know, not just a quick FAQ, you know, answer to that, but like, I'm going to go in depth and compare this to this and, you know, give a really thorough answer to it and use that as a piece of content. Common objections. These ones become more useful, you know, later in the buying process when somebody knows you and they're considering you, and how do you, you know, salespeople are taught how to handle objections. Well, I think all of those, that objection handling needs to be transferred over into the marketing process too, for the people who are out there learning and trying to figure out what they need on their own. So that's that tab. So now you think about, okay, we've identified the type of company we're trying to reach. We've identified the individuals and what those specific people care about. You know, when you've done that, all of a sudden this becomes really easy. Your content strategy, you say, okay, well, what were some of those pains and goals and questions that we just talked about? Let's drop one of those into each of these lines and let's just go down the list. Like, when we do these workshops with our clients, which, you know, we do like full day workshops where we hit all these profiles, you know, these two profiles and this content tab hard. Usually by the time we move here, we've got 25, 30, 40 ideas already in here, because we've done such a thorough job exploring those things that the most important people you're trying to reach care about. And so I think the way to do it here is, you know, I'm using an example here just for context, but let's say the ideal customer you're trying to reach is a mid-sized food manufacturer. And, you know, a couple of the personas that you sort of profiled out on that second tab were plant managers. And then there was maybe engineers, and then there was, you know, CEOs. And so what you can then do here is say, all right, well, what were some of those pains or goals for the plant manager? Right, one of them was, you know, machinery downtime is slowing output, right? Like, that's something that they deal with and they've got to figure out how to address. So, you know, this is kind of a generic title, but okay, 5 ways to reduce downtime in your food manufacturing facility. And let's, you know, that's a content topic, right? And here you could, you know, just a place to add some more details, like, what could we cover in that? What are the 3 main bullet points we'd hit on there? And I think it's also good to think about, you know, who on your team is the person who's really a deep expert in this, whose brain power we can tap into, whose knowledge we can extract, and what medium might be good to use. I don't think you have to figure this out right away, but ideally you put a camera, in this case, on Bill, your engineer, and you get him talking about answer these questions right there on camera. And now you've got the potential for video content. You can transcribe that stuff. You can have a copywriter take that and turn it into content. But it's sort of just a natural flow. So I gave a couple examples here that you can use, but I would, you know, recommend sort of following this format as you run a workshop, and you're going to come out of there with a ton of ideas that you'll use some of them, others you won't, others you'll push to the future, but should give you a really great starting place.
Amazing. Thank you for that. For those of you watching right now, take a pause again. I'm just going to give a little quick recap of what we went over there, so you can jot these things down and you guys can go away and work with your marketing team, work with your sales team, work with the other experts that you have. You want to really nail down everything you know about your ideal customer profile, everything you know about these companies that you're looking to target, specifically focusing on things like triggers or something that might inform intent to buy or intent to change in some way. You really want to nail down everything you know about your buyer persona. You want to know what pains they have, what priorities they have. And in this part of the workshop, you want to think about questions you get from them all the time or common objections you get from them all the time, because that could inform a piece of content that you might make that would be really targeted to them. And then from these two tabs of the ideal customer profile, buyer persona profile, that's what you're going to use to create this content plan. So you know what the buyers at the specific types of companies you want to target actually care about. And then you make those content topics and you then consider what medium makes the most sense. So that will probably depend depending on what industry you're targeting. But as Joe mentioned, if you do something like video, it can be cut up into shorter little snippets. It can be transcribed into a blog post, into an article. There's so much room if you kind of consider that. So yeah, thank you so much for that workshop. Amazing to hear about it from this perspective and for those companies out there that really feel that they have a gap because they're not able to go out there and meet their prospects. They're not able to network. They're not getting in front of their prospects and in all the ways they normally would. This is a very actionable way to fix that problem really immediately.
Great.
Nice. So for people that do want to go out and build a content strategy now, based on this workshop, what other resources would you point them towards to help them get started?
Sure. So, you know, on our site, I always direct people to gorilla76.com/learn. That's gorilla like the animal, G-O-R-I-L-L-A, 76.com/learn. And it's, this is our marketing strategy learning center. Essentially, we're publishing, you know, purely resourceful, helpful content there all the time like this. And so you'll find all kinds of stuff, marketing, sales advice. And we gear it towards mid-sized manufacturers, but really it's anybody in the B2B space who's selling into companies who have, you know, complex buying processes, et cetera. So I'd send them there. You know, if you'd like to get in touch with me, I'd be happy to share some additional resources with you. And the request a consultation form on our, in the top right of our site will go directly to me. So that'd be one Perfect. Way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And you mentioned a book that you felt helped you get to this kind of to land on this strategy or these marketing ideas. Mm-hmm. Would you share a little bit about what that book was and why you think it helped?
Yeah. So I think the best resource out there on the topic of content marketing is a book called They Ask, You Answer by Marcus Sheridan. He's got an amazing, you know, if you Google search Marcus Sheridan's story, he's just got an incredible story of really during the 2008 recession, you know, having a pool company that was tanking in a time when nobody had expendable income and how he used content marketing to lift his business out of, you know, essentially bankruptcy and turn it into one of the biggest pool companies in the world. So it's an extreme example, but his book, They Ask, You Answer, is really all about, you know, how to do content in a way that is helpful. It's like the title of the book says, They Ask, You Answer. It's about answering customer questions and using that in your marketing process. So I everybody listening to this should really be your first step, is go buy that book.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Joe. This has been really, really incredible. It's so nice to get such an actionable way to put these kinds of things into practice right away. To have you share that actual workshop template with us, that was so amazing. For those of you watching, if you're in an industry that depended heavily on in-person networking, on relationship building, and you feel that you're missing that, well, rewind. Get that pen and paper back out and really put this into action. And we'd love to hear from you. If you guys do this, drop a line. If you're watching on YouTube, drop it in the comments. If you're watching it on LinkedIn, send me a LinkedIn message. Give me the title of one piece of content that you were able to create from this workshop. We'd love to hear it. I'm sure Joe would love to hear that, how people across different industries have benefited from this very valuable workshop.
Great.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks again for coming on the show, Joe. It's been really incredible. Thank you to everybody that's watching right now. Thanks again for watching the Predictable Revenue Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
All right. Shout out to Predictable Revenues, Service LinkedIn Outbound Service for sponsoring this video. As a founder and sales leader myself, I know most of the best practices in terms of like what I need to be doing on LinkedIn. But sometimes I just don't have the time. You know what the right things to do are, but it just comes down to a trade-off of where's my time better spent? And can I find somebody to click around on LinkedIn for me and book meetings, you know, and then I can focus on higher level activities. And so think about it. What's the best use of your time? If you're a founder, sales leader, and you have a team, you need some meetings, I'd encourage you to check it out. I'm using it myself. I'm obviously the founder, so eating our own dog food. But if you're curious, click the link below to learn more.